It is a great privilege to speak on Chuck's last day. I said to him, surely you would want to preach. And he said, no. So that means I get to do it. But it is an honor to preach this extraordinary passage from John's Gospel, the prologue of John. The key to the prologue of John is, of course, the meaning of the word logos, word. Word is Jesus. So when the word becomes flesh, we all know Jesus becomes flesh. I have four things to say to you this morning. The first from John's Gospel is that Jesus is a creator, savior. The second is that Jesus is a life giver. The third is that God sends people to us when we are in darkness. You're going to relate to that one, I think. Anyway, but and the next one, the last one, is that the uniqueness of Jesus Christ is revealed by John in the prologue because Jesus comes with grace and truth. So are you ready for the first one? Right. So Jesus is a creator, savior. Just before Christmas, I was in England celebrating my uncle's 100th birthday. And I got into some very, very difficult conversations with some of my relatives over my theological position. And they said, surely, surely, when I get to the top of the mountain at the end of my life, I will meet people of other faiths coming up the other side of the mountain. And I said, I don't think so. And that didn't go down well. That's an English understatement. There was a family feud. Now, why would I say no? I would say no based on John's prologue. Because Jesus is the Word. He was with God and was God. He was there in the beginning. All things were created through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. In other words, this is not a mountain guide. This is a mountain maker. This is a person who was there before the beginning, who was there in the beginning, and who therefore is a savior. And a true mountain guide would say to the people on a journey up the mountain, you won't be able to make it up the mountain because there is an abyss. Like those ice fields after base camp number one on Everest. Without ladders, you will not make it over those crevasses, and an honest, truthful teacher will tell you that. No amount of effort will get you across that abyss. But only a creator, savior, could provide the means to get across the abyss, to make it into the presence of God. So I would say from John's Gospel, Jesus as a creator, savior, is the only way to the Father. Second point, Jesus is a life giver. He gives life, that's his nature. In him was life and the light, in him was light and that was life. And the light shines in the darkness. There's this constant battle that you and I live with between darkness and light. We have events in our lives which bring us back into a state of great darkness. I got news this morning of one of our bishop's granddaughters died just overnight. And my heart sank because we've been battling and praying for this child for 2 months. And I'm brought, and he's brought into a place of great darkness, a place of mystery. And Jesus overcomes the light. He didn't bring that child back to life, which is the mystery, which is the confusion. But he is a life giver. And I cannot give you answers as to why some darkness is dispelled and some is not. But I can say that all I can say is that from my own experience, God uses darkness. God uses darkness to bring light to other people. What I do see in John's gospel is that Jesus is at a wedding that's gone dead because they've run out of wine. And Jesus, as the life giver, brings new wine to revive the wedding party. When the people are dying of hunger, Jesus brings food, bread, by the bucket load to bring them back to life. When people are desperately thirsty, Jesus is the one who says, I will bring rivers of living water to flow out of your hearts. I will restore your life. That is his nature. When they wanted to stone the woman in John 8 who committed adultery, he gave her back his life, her life. Jesus brings life back to people. Sometimes it's a severe warning that people get. Sometimes it's not just, oh, go and have a happy life. It's, you've got to change your life radically. But then there is great grace to make the change happen. One more example of Jesus bringing people back to life. Of course, the classic would be the raising of Lazarus. And I love Thomas's cynicism as he looks on at the fact that Jesus has not healed Lazarus quickly. And Thomas declares, oh, let's go die with him. Death is the only way. And Jesus revives Lazarus and invites Thomas to experience, let's go live with him. Jesus is life. Third point. They tell me you don't have too long to preach here, so I'm going to have to get going. I can't get carried away on points here, so I'll lose points if I do that. Jesus sends people. A sent person is the Greek word for apostle. An apostle is one who is sent. And we celebrate today that God sent Chuck and Ellen to you. He is an apostle sent by God for a specific time and a specific place for a specific ministry, which was absolutely vital. And we think it's not ended, but Chuck thinks it's ended, so we have to accept that. God sent Chuck. When you can say that God sent this person into my life for this particular purpose, you can then say they were an apostle. They had an apostolic ministry in our church. They were sent. And I thank God for Chuck. I thank God that he sent him here for this season. Now, on a personal level, I want you to pause for a minute and say, who has God sent me in my life? Who has been an apostle in my life, speaking into my life about the love of God, about the truth of God, about his word? I think of the physics teacher when I was 16. I think of a wonderful Anglo-Catholic priest who mentored me for a number of years. And I could go on and on. Today, give thanks for those whom God sent to you. And why did he send them to you? To help you move through your darkness and find the light at the other end of the darkness. Because that's the nature of God. The last point. I always like that when the preacher says that and means it. Rarely do they mean it. And the Word made flesh and dwelt amongst us, full of grace and truth. Moses brought the law, which was truth. Jesus came to bring the law and truth. He did not suspend law and offer grace in place of forgiveness. Sin is still sin. And we see in our world today that grace, the abuse of grace, that it says in John 16, in the fullness of God, Jesus was given grace upon grace, and he gives grace upon grace. But grace upon grace is not to say it doesn't matter, don't worry about it, we're all like that. Because in John 8, he says to the woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more. To the woman at Samaria, he says to her, go and get your husband. Oh, I don't have a husband. That's right, you have five, and the one you're married to is not your husband. You have told the truth. Truth about sin and failure is not suspended, but grace upon grace is given to forgive the sin, to get you over the abyss, to get you into the presence of a God who loves you with grace upon grace. May God bless you today.